18 Commission meeting, Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. We will kick off with item number one, Commission Workshop. So, do we have, does that just open up?
Yeah.
So I'm going to open that up. We have, is the list of, yeah, there it is. Outstanding on number one. There's a few items there still, so I'm going to open it up to the whole commission. Just jump in. We can do this from the top down or just hit and pick or add to it. So.
Well, I'd actually like to start with something that's probably not on the list.
That's fine, too.
So I've been really impressed with the input that we're receiving on qualifications and also names that have been suggested by both the public and by employees of the department. The quality of information that we've received from employees, I think, is very thoughtful, and so I'm raising this hoping that our subcommittee is paying close attention to these.
Are these the names that
the names that
were on those when people sent it?
Emails, yeah, okay. We've gotten some really quality people recommendations, and I'm just hoping that we've got a process where we're reaching out to those folks and inviting them to apply for the director.
Yeah, I never got him. I'm sorry, I never got
him. It was on the list of.
We've been getting emails. Yeah.
There's only been about 10, right, or 15?
Maybe a total of 15 or 20. Yeah. But I've been sending in groups of like 6 or 8.
Yeah.
Hi, Dawn.
Yeah, Barbara. You wanna...
Thank you, Kim. We are the subcommittee is planning to meet on Friday evening to discuss this at length and then bring whatever discussion factors that we come up with to the full commission on Saturday, because it's real important, even though there is a subcommittee working on this, that everybody know everything that we know. We are, or at least Tammy and I, are keeping very close track of the input we're receiving and are equally impressed with. Actually, it's not just the staff. There's real good input coming in from everyone, and it's heartfelt, and it isn't overly critical. And surprising to me is how uniform it is. There is quite a bit of agreement about what people outside of us nine people think we ought to be looking for in a new director. It would be practically an insult to the people that take the time to do that for us to do anything other than take it seriously, so we are. After this meeting, I've prepared just two draft documents. One goes back to the people thanking them, but the other goes to the individual names of the people who have been suggested as director, just saying, we live in a great place, this is going to be a great job. If you are all interested, check the website. Okay. So that's all happening, and and we'll keep you posted later.
Okay. So there is a process in place to be contacting those people.
And as Barbara said, right now we're in the open phase of for the CVs coming in, so it's the lag phase. But we are meeting tomorrow night, and we've been chatting online back and forth. But tomorrow night we're going to meet and develop the game plan for the next couple of weeks to do all of that. Let me say one thing though that I found a little disheartening yesterday. I was at the killer whale kickoff, and I was informed by a person in the governor's staff that in conversations with a commissioner or two that we were way behind on a timeline for the search and the process was dragging on, And I said, no, it's not. We're waiting at the end of the month that this is. I don't know if who was in communication with the person from the governor's office, but or if anybody. But I find that sort of message doesn't help us as a whole, because that reverberates out there. And if any of you have any questions, contact one of us on the search group. But it's definitely in play. We have a timeline, and I just find it's not speaking out of school. But if these conversations are going on, I don't find them helpful. For it splinters us as well. So that was yesterday. I was informed of that, and I will be talking with that individual and with Kelly in the office, and with Keith in the office on Monday, because I said we will be going through this in our group today, this weekend, and you know, but and what's underway. So I will be giving them a briefing of what we come up with. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. And Joe, you had a.
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just listening to where the conversation was going and thinking that if anybody who might be applying is in the room here, that we ought not to be. So.
Well, I don't know at this point.
Yeah, at this stage.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
This is the process of is until the end of the month. And I know we all get contacted. I met with two people who I slightly knew that were both interested in the position, and they wanted me to help them rewrite their CV.
No. He's doing it for three of them.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting good money for that one. And then another one kept saying, well, should I apply? And I don't know. But I know we're all getting that. We've been to this dance before, all of us, I think. So you know the protocol and the ethics involved and all of that. But that doesn't mean that when people come up, we can't explain the position. I've done that, saying that this is what it is, along with the challenges, you know, that from our perspective that we see. But no, Joe, I think right now we're just, you know, we're open till the end of the month, and then we get down to the brass tacks of this. Any disagreements with it?
No, I just want to add one thing.
We're on track with our plan. So
I just think it needs to be said by me, at least, that having been through this before, the review, the research, the decision making, and the ultimate decision lies with the nine of us, nobody else. And we have to take that very seriously. There'll be outside influences from God only knows where, but it's us, and we gotta reach high for this one.
Yeah, and the second that those of us that went through this the last time, some of us got our arms dislocated in some of this, and we can all think what we want to about that. Everybody has an opinion and a right to talk to us, but as Commissioner Carpenter said, this is our decision, and it's probably. As I remember last time we were talking, this is one of the biggest things that we do as a commission, but it is our decision. So, okay. Anything else on the search? Okay, then can go back to the outstanding or new things, any items that we wish to. Bring up?
If we just start at the top, the committee structure and process, I know we're going through sort of a test period, and I just want to remind people that we've agreed to open our committees for a period of time, and I hope committee members are, you know, keeping that in mind, that we're just kind of observing how much participation we get, you know, is it being shown that we need to continue or go back to our old structure? Just, you know, we're in a process there too, I think. And at some point, I think 90-day interval or 120-day interval we can agree to revisit that topic and determine if we feel like the old structure is working or we need to make adjustments. And then I think we can move on.
Okay. Any follow-up thoughts on that, on committees?
Just one thing here. We did try that in Olympia for the Fish Committee last meeting. And as somebody who's not on the Fish Committee, I thought it was very helpful to be able to be at the Fish Committee for that meeting, and looking forward to the one this evening as well.
I'm not sure what Saturday commission meeting strategies means.
One thing, when those of us that have to travel, which is most of us, extending the meetings too late into Saturday does pose difficulty. So,
oh, okay.
I don't know if that's what that meant, but I know the last meeting, by the time we got to the end, there were only a few left standing. So.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we have people that need to get to the airport and that sort of thing. And yeah, it's a little awkward when we have commissioners leaving before we're kind of finished.
So I think given that we shouldn't push the agenda too late in the day.
All right.
Yeah, and I may be one of the ones bringing up that one and linked to the next two probably as well about that very same concern. Saturday's coming around, and while we all wanted to leave at noon or 1 o'clock, we weren't done with the agenda. And so what happens? And agenda item of looking at the next meeting agenda and the future meeting planning thing seems to be one of the things that's gone. I do appreciate everyone's looking at, and particularly the staff's creativity in trying to make this meeting one that maybe is a little bit different, and that maybe we can rely on the meeting ending when it's supposed to. If it turns out that we're not so lucky again this time, and the future meeting agenda and the next meeting agenda, I guess the April meeting agenda, is something we just don't have time to get to, that I would be looking at making a recommendation that we pick up future meeting agenda, the next meeting agenda, and the year-at-a-glance business as a separate agenda item, maybe at the beginning of the day on Saturday, so we make sure that we do get to it. And then during the debrief, if there's any corrections or anything that happened after that, to come up. But I think that's a very important agenda item, and that whoever's last in line seems to be the casualty, so to speak. And I think that one's an important one.
I think one important concern about Saturday is we would like not all of our constituents to have totally white hair and be retired who can make it to meetings to testify. And a lot of people work Monday through Friday. And Saturday is the opportunity for many of our constituents to come and provide testimony, which is the reason that we have the open public testimony in the morning, and often try to schedule certain agenda items where we know there's going to be important testimony. I raise this. We have always kind of avoided thinking of a different schedule for our meetings, but it has been suggested that we do, and maybe that's some creative thinking that we need to do. How about an occasional evening meeting for people who work to be able to come and give public testimony? I think there are other ways of dealing with this Saturday question. Maybe varying the times that we have meetings, not always having a all-day Friday, half-day Saturday. or moving the all-day Friday so that it starts later in the day and provides some time for public testimony after working hours. There are other ways of thinking about scheduling our meetings. But I think it is very important to allow for public testimony at a time that doesn't cross over with work hours.
I really agree with Kim. I know last year we stepped up our ambitions to travel the meetings to other communities. And, you know, within reason, we considered now when we're doing this, it creates more travel for not only commissioners but staff. But very soon we learned how important it was that we reach out to these other communities and provide an opportunity for people in different regions of the state to attend meetings, not always having to travel to Olympia. You know, Kim, I think you touched on something that when we have public meetings scheduled in our within our region, I'm sure it's similar elsewhere, they're 6 to 8 p.m. And we get good attendance, you know, depending on the topic. And that perhaps is something we may start later and later on Friday. The opportunity for the public to sit in front of the commission and voice their concerns, suggestions, or even sometimes even compliment us on our work is very important. And I don't want to compromise that at all.
Good thoughts.
Can I make a comment? Not on.
Sure. Just it's open forum.
That was part of my comment. The we decided a while ago to do these extra days or half days, sort of as a transparent alternative to trying to do a retreat, which. Now it's been a year ago I was asking for primarily to get a little bit of education. As I look down through this list, some of the other things on here that I was asking for, I find this half day to be very important, and it's really nice to be able to talk to all of you without a whole full audience here, all with their own agendas. So I wanted to ask Tammy, I remember that we only did this for a short time, and when do these end, Tammy? Okay, so we have a little bit of time to decide if we continue them, or maybe we don't need them every month, but maybe we need them every now and then. Also, this document is dated, and it needs to kind of be a living document, so we need to be able to update it, and I guess I just assumed that would happen magically, but it doesn't. So just for instance, the first one, committee structure and process, I think what we've done is we've said, okay, we're going to try having open committees, and so now we need to figure out a time when we review what we've done and see if it works. The one that I put on here that I don't know if we still need is management versus policy. At the time, I was concerned, since I am in Olympia and I have as much interaction with staff as they'll let me have, primarily briefings, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't crossing the line from being a policy maker to being a manager, which frankly is a role I'm much more comfortable in. If nobody else needs to know that or wants to know that, we can take it off, because I think that Mr. Storr and now Ms. Windrop will let me know if I'm crossing that line. So that is sort of up to you, as is retreat planning. I guess my point is that we need to go through this and see if there are other things that we want to add and take off what we can. And when this page becomes empty, then maybe we don't need to have these meetings anymore. The last thing I wanted to say is I'm not sure who added them. It might have been me. It might have been Commissioner Thorburn. But balancing the commission's attention between consumptive and non-consumptive. The next one down is the North American model versus another approach. We're going to be talking about that later today. And so I don't know that those need to stay on. So there you go. That's what I think. I have these meetings have been very important to me. Also, having staff have a bit of time, like Nate, and coming back to us with the results of the proviso that don't necessarily fit in a commission meeting. I still don't know how that got added to this day, but I'm happy it did, because it gives us some real good time to go through the important work that they're doing. So I'd like to say we keep them for a while anyway.
Any other thoughts on that? I view a lot of this as ongoing anyhow. The consumptive, non-consumptive, and the North American model, that's just going to be part of our dialogue. And that's going to permeate a lot of what we talk about as change evolves. And taking things off, I agree. I mean, some of these we have completed, but completed it may not be the right word. It's always going to be works in progress, like with the conference calls and whatever. So it's evolving. who? Let's see. Communication. Who? Do any of you want to claim credit for that? And what is meant by that? You want to communicate that?
Nate wants to.
Is it yours?
Well, maybe just a little bit here, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Director Storr. So on this list, when we heard the idea of the retreat, Joel and I and a few others tried to compile a list of topics of things that we've heard from your all's discussion, brought that to the commission, and the commissioners have added on to that. And so some of these were just kind of quick bullets to try to initiate a conversation with you on what other topics do you want added. And so, for instance, within the Big Tent Committee, the Commission's talked a lot about developing an overarching community relations outreach communication plan. And the department started that, and so I'm hoping to bring that forward to you, like, in June. On the topic, for instance, on management versus policy, what we had in mind there is a lot of the agenda is spent on rule briefings and very specific items of season setting. And sometimes it seems like you also have approaches where you lay out a policy for staff to implement on how to structure those seasons or to conduct state tribal co-management negotiations. So that was the topic we were wanting to have with you all, is to see at what level are you interested in operating. Okay. You want to be at the GMU level on the point restrictions within a particular area on a particular species, or do you want to adopt the white-tailed deer management plan? I mean, just as an example. Those are two very different levels of engagement for this body. And so that's what we were trying to gauge. If some of that stuff is delegated to the director, or are those items that you want to retain control of? So just a little bit of context, and also like the conversation on economics. Wow, broad topic. But what we can offer there is a lot of the decisions that you all make impact rural economies or people's businesses and their livelihoods. So how much of in these really rich natural resource decisions that you have to make, how much do you want to consider the economic impact of those decisions? Is that material that you want the agency to develop and prepare and bring forward to you? If so, that's a very different expertise and skill set than what we don't have right now in the agency. So again, those are the types of topics that happy to work with. I mean, some of this requires quite a bit of staff work to bring back to you if you want to have that conversation, but that was the nature and the origin of the list. Just that was helpful.
Thanks, Nate.
Yep.
Thanks, Nate. I agree with what you were saying, Chair Brad, that these are, I think, things that we should keep before us and have ongoing conversations about. Just as an example, as a now 3-year commission member who's been involved in adopting a couple of really complex policies, I think trying to strike that balance of how much into the weeds do we get is always challenging to us. As Nate brings out, you look at the rules we're adopting, and it's by GMU and stuff like that. So we're drawn into decisions that are really in the weeds. But when we're talking policy, and providing that overarching direction, I feel uncomfortable being, you know, that detailed. I think a perfect example is the Willapa Bay policy. Do I bring this up? And I want to take this opportunity to thank Commissioner McIsaac for the work that you put into that revision for 2018. I really appreciated that effort and felt that it was an excellent resolution and will help us move forward, because that policy obviously still needs work. And I'm in no way want to sound critical to those who spent hours and hours and days and weeks and months putting that policy together. Our policies are based on some assumptions. They always are going to be. How detailed do we want those assumptions to be, as Nate brings out, you know, the question of the economics that goes into it, for example. Do we want to just give more overarching direction? Conservation first, for example. How are we going to measure the conservation? I think that it's worth, when we come to these reviews of policies, to always kind of have this kind of management versus policy discussion, and to not be afraid to change our policies when it's obvious that the assumptions are better understood after a little bit of time with the policy. So I think these are discussions that we always need to keep before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. There's been a lot said. I appreciate all the comments from the commissioners. But there's one thing I think we also need to keep in mind, and I think Nate did a good job of kind of teeing it up a little bit. We always have to be cognizant of our efficiency. Are we being efficient in what we're doing, or are we just making work for ourselves and other people? I don't think we can be a commission that deals strictly with minutiae. We have to deal with high-level issues. We got to make tough decisions. We got to make them and then move on. And in 2 years, if we need to revisit them and we learn more, then we talk about and negotiate and arbitrate change. But I think some of the interest in getting too deep into the details is affecting our efficiency, in my view.
I guess I'll take a little different tacky, but I know what you're saying, both Commissioner, that in talking about staying at a higher level. But on the other hand, the person that stops you at the grocery store and says, "I want to talk to you about primers on muzzle loaders," he doesn't want me to say, "Well, our policy is to stay primitive," or "Our policy is to be open to all types of things." He wants to know that I'm going to take that to that discussion and tell them what he said or she said. And you can go on and on. You can say, well, thinking back, Lighted Knox was a great example of something. We could have just stayed up in the clouds and said, stay primitive. And yet we heard tons of great testimony from people, and people were crying over it. You know, it was really moving to hear that, and it made a difference in how I viewed that topic. And it made me go back out and try to research it with some of my bow hunter friends and say, what do you think? So I don't think we can ever get too deep in the weeds, but we can't forget that the one channel people have to affect something that is very meaningful to them, other than just discussing it with staff, which is a good channel as well. And there's plenty of advisory groups that give advice to staff, and staff is creating things, and hopefully it's all going well. But at some point, we're that last-ditch effort to say, could you bring this up? Could you see what, you know, the commission thinks? And the commission then has authority through the director to affect staff. So it's still important to, at the right time, I think, to be down in the weeds on certain topics.
Yeah, rebuttal. No, not a rebuttal. I think that was a good comment, Jay. I just want to tell you that the way I've handled that, you know, and I deal face-to-face with people as well, and that's a great point you made. But when I get these calls and a multitude of calls about a certain issue, I encourage these people to write a letter. Write a letter to the commission, copy the director, so that I'm not the only one hearing their thoughts. You all are having an opportunity to hear their thoughts, too. I have found that in the issues that I'm more engaged in, that's been, I think, more helpful to me, and I think it spreads the questions out amongst a group of us, which is what this is about. So it's just a thought. You know?
Yeah, Dave.
A couple of things. Thank you, Jay. You know, that it is our responsibility to answer sometimes concerns at that level. Nate, I appreciate what you brought up about the economics. I'll touch on that just briefly. There was a day I remember quite a long time ago that policy was every decision had to be based on science alone, and social and economic factors were not part of the equation. I think we live in a time where that's not the case anymore. And so I think it is important that, and we do hear from our constituents, we hear from communities about the impacts of our decisions, and so we do consider those factors when they're brought to us. And I think we have to be sensitive to those. I don't know if we need to create a new division within the department that, you know, dedicates itself to develop economic models of impacts of policy, but certainly we are paying attention to the economic impacts of policy decisions, and we do look for guidance. But a lot of times, as I say, we look for the guidance from our stakeholders and communities for those decisions. And again, getting back to just that head of communication, this is something that I talk about with staff and others, is that we have a I consider to be a critical problem in terms of communication with our public. We are continually being reactive to issues that come to the public's attention, and what we need, and we sort of have a machine that grinds out a response to news items or what we're doing within the department that are fairly standard. I'm almost of a mind, and I'd like to hear what other commissioners feel like about is having more of a public relations approach to get in front of these issues, develop the type of communication with the public prior to some of these things that show up in the newspaper that continually give us a black eye with the public. And it's almost, and maybe, I'm not sure because I don't see in our news links what happens with other agencies, but we seem to be in the public's eye in not a positive way an awful lot of the time. And also, and again, if we take a public relations approach to this, we will be telling more positive stories and sharing those with the public. We have a lot of successes. We have a lot of things to be very proud of, and those don't seem to be making it in the headlines at all. And so I think we need to consider that it has very wide impact on how we can function. It has impact in the legislature. It has impact in the communities. They were continually under fire. And I think there's different ways that we can deal with that that would put us in a more positive light and help us in a lot of ways. And I just open that topic up. That's my opinion.
No, that's a very valid point. And yesterday, Acting Director Storr and I had a limited conversation about that. And I think it's something that's underway.
So again, I'd like permission to work with Tammy to take a run at reorganizing this list, because when I listened to Nate talk about the very broad points on here like communication, and then you turn the page and there is much more specific points that each are a subpoint of something that's on the front that we should talk about. One of them on the back page says focusing more on larger policy issues versus some of the day-to-day time, place, manner rules, prioritizing policy-level decision issues, which is what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes or so. I think that there is a difference and maybe a compromise place between focusing on big policy agenda items and representing our constituents. And the one that comes to mind for me is, I remember we had a meeting last year, and when I got home from it, somebody said, well, how's your day? And I said, man, it was great. This is such a fun job. But we spent a half hour talking about who got to drive the tractor in the dog training issue. And I said, I don't know who gets to drive the tractor, and I'm never going to know. That is a management issue, and it's subject to all the stuff that you guys do know. So, but we had to talk about the issue because people brought it to us. We had to at least accept it and listen, and then we didn't have to direct, but somebody understood that that wasn't our decision. Somebody else was going to make that decision. On the other hand, muzzle loaders, it's obviously a policy decision. It's not a management decision. So I think there is a fine line there that we need to recognize, and we need to be real clear with our constituents when they ask us those questions, what side of the line we're on. Communication is, I would like to embroider that a bit on here to include PR and to include our website and to include when we talk about outward communication. We, I believe, have so much work to do, and I'd like to see us focus a bit on that. And so if you don't mind, between Tammy and I, we'll group these not into outstanding, pending, and completed, but into subject areas with the points and the subpoints that then will become a living document.
I don't think anybody would object to that.
No.
Mr. Keogh.
Thank you. So on the topic of communication, I have a question. I don't know who to address it to, but I recently received an email from a staff person, which was forwarding Joe's excellent legislative update. And the question was, have I been receiving these emails or things like this or being contacted by a department liaison? And I think the reason I was given this, but this was in the context not as being a commissioner but as a stakeholder representing a commercial fishing group. And the email suggested or indicated that this was a process that started with Director Unsworth to kind of reach out. Is that something, or maybe Ron knows? I mean, I think it's a good idea, but I just wasn't aware of it. Maybe I missed that meeting. So I was just wondering kind of what. So I don't know if people are aware of that, but there was an effort apparently to reach out and have people within certain departments be the liaison with stakeholders.
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, Commissioner Kehoe, there's been a couple initiatives that we've undertaken here, and this has really been part of the broader strategy on all the work that we're doing with the operating budget proviso and trying to set ourselves up to be in a lot better position, hopefully, in 2019. So a few things. One, we've been providing a lot of assistance and training for our staff that are our advisory group facilitators. I mean, you think about the nature of an advisory group. You don't set up an advisory group on a straightforward, simple issue. It's the tough ones. It's the big policy issues that we're trying to bring diverse opinions together with. And oftentimes, those staff have just been assigned, here's your advisory group. Not a lot of other support there. There's a subject matter expert, and they get handed a roster of 20 people. So part of that has been, you know, do they have a charter? Do they have ground rules? How are they communicating with the advisory groups outside of just the advisory group meeting? It doesn't necessarily always just need to be on Willapa Bay salmon. We can have conversations about agency business and provide those updates. And so within the policy team of the director's office, we're providing a lot of materials to try to get to those facilitators to push out to the advisory groups. Okay. Similarly, Eric Gardner had brought forward an idea to the executive management team about a project that he had seen down in Arizona, and that was to use a collaborative partner liaisons where we identify the 60, 70 large statewide conservation and sports groups and assign a staff person. That's their job to make sure that we're keeping that other group updated, making sure that if we know that there's a monthly meeting and they need to have a Bio4 there to provide an update on elk winter range, that we arrange for that. And not that this is an exclusive contact for the group, but just as a conduit to have information. And then similarly, we provided that Ledge 2018 wrap up and we pushed it out to our advisory group. We pushed it out to the collaborative partners, and it's getting a lot of mileage. I think it's getting a lot of good feedback on how that information was dispersed and pretty objective overview of just, hey, this is what how the agency fared last session.
Well, good. I think it's excellent. I just wasn't aware of that this, and me as a commissioner, I'm kind of more in tune with these things than maybe some of the other stakeholder groups, but I think it's good part of the effort.
And then lastly, just the other tool we're doing is we've created a bi-monthly director's bulletin that kind of summarizes some of the big issues that are going on within the agency, and that's a message to staff, but we write it in a way that is also intended to be forwarded out.
Okay, thank you.
Did we get that? Joe?
Yeah, just to follow up on some of the communication theme here, Nate has and the ADs have done a great job in this new effort to reach out to advisory teams, the public, et cetera. Somebody mentioned the website. We'll have a new website up and running, I think, by next winter. And that's an exciting opportunity. And we've worked, our contractors, I think, doing a very good job with the theme of connecting with the common person out there. It's not about what we need as a communication tool. It's what do people want to hear from us and see from us and need from us to recreate. The other part of this, remember in the matrix evaluation, outreach and improvement of outreach was a central theme. So we've got this teed up on our to-do list for those 50 or so recommendations, looking at how we improve that effort and packaging that up so you can see and the world can see that we were responsive to Matrix. And the last thing I'll throw out there is our public affairs director, Bruce Botka, has announced his retirement. And so that has given us an opportunity with all these other issues to talk about how we restructure and rebuild some of our communication efforts. So,
and that was part of what I was alluding to when I said that we had a conversation yesterday. Thanks for making that forward, because I think that's going to be a critical position within the department, especially as we go through other transitions. So we look forward, Joe, to helping or, however we can, providing input to that position. Yeah.
Here's a couple of thoughts. On communication first, I agree with most all of what Dave talked about, and I think we do need to get some of our good stories out, and I'm very heartened to hear all these things are going on in the communications arena. The website is probably, 90% of the interaction with the public nowadays. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's got to be a big percentage. So I think that's all very good news to hear. We're moving in on that. The app for phones on fishing regulations is another example of things that really help our image along. So let me just kudo what's going on and agree with what's been said. On the matter of management versus policy and when to get in to things at the 30,000-foot level and when do you have to deal with 260 primers, I don't know that it's ever going to be resolved, that blend. It'll always be a little bit situational, I think. But looking at our April agenda, where we have delegation of authority to the director on there, and coming back to the agenda items that make it on the list, I think that's where the blend of detail and management versus higher level policy will end up being a choice for the commission at every meeting. What do you want on your agenda for the next meeting? That will resolve how many of those things are lands purchases of a very minor amount of money versus some things that are very high policy level. And there's delegation to the director for big things. Inside of that is delegation of at least little policy decisions, if not bigger ones. If a FERC license comes up for a hydroelectric dam where there's a mitigation package where there's been a promise to society that society's going to be made whole for the salmon loss there, and that never comes to this front table, we're delegating what are probably major policy decisions to the director. Even on some of the other things, I think there's at least little bits of policy that go along with that. So maybe there's always going to be a little bit of blend that's appropriate where we do deal with some maybe minutia type things, but maybe that's a little bit of our job. And it's probably always going to be the case that we're never going to be able to deal with all the policy decisions of such a big agency. But when we set our agendas, that's when we really pick and choose what we're going to try to deal with the next time around.
Bradley?
Yeah.
On this general heading, again, of communications, I think that I'm very encouraged to see that we now have a marketing department under the umbrella of the department, and we've seen some good things. And I'll point to, say, the statewide trout derby. It's been very popular, well executed, and again, probably needs to be communicated better to the general public. We've had very good success with that. We recently had a opening of several lakes in the Columbia Basin on March 1st. That's a traditional opener. Always very popular because it's opportunity for people usually to find good weather in the early year and get their first chance to get their families out and do some trout fishing. And it was kind of almost a non-event this year. There was, for example, in the Weekender that is published and distributed, that's sort of an update of what's happening throughout the state. There was a one-sentence mention that there were several lakes opening in the Quincy area. When I visited those lakes, I had people comment that they thought that there was less participation. This is something that I see this as marketing, and we put more steam about around the opportunity. Here's, you know, I always refer to it as the starting gun for the trout season. Here's March 1st. We can get out. The lakes are full of fish. It occurred to me that what we need to do, and again, the Weekender is sort of an effort where they'll touch base with the different regions, what's going on there. But we need to put more behind that, and not a one sentence, several lakes open. It's the March 1st opener, and the Columbia Basin, sunshine, and trout. You know, put that kind of a spin to it, and I think we get better participation.
And on the communication note again, the good news is news. And then I think we always live in a world of press-driven, only bad news makes the news. If it bleeds, it leads sort of thing. Last year, when we did the Fisher releases, that was a great story. I mean, that went international, you know. And that's sort of, I think there's the marketing of we can go fishing next weekend in Lake X or Y. There's also the critter success stories that, and each critter's got its own champion on a global basis. And when those Fisher release stories came out, they touched a lot of different, or pulled a lot of different threads, you know, from cute critters, great science, hope for the future, engagement with the youth at the events and all of that. So I think we need more positive critter stories out there too. And I know with good folks like Hannah and Becky, you know, that, or Penny, you know, that we have the people to do that. So more good news out there that give hope is can, you know, for the future too. And we do that because a lot of what we do is about the future. It has to be.
I think some of it has to do with the market that you're speaking to. I think we're lucky in Spokane. We have a newspaper that where outdoors reporting has been a tradition as long as the newspaper's been around. There was a one of our county commissioners' father was a well-loved sports reporter, Ross Kelly, followed by Rich Landers, who we're going to be recognizing tomorrow. We all sort of went, oh, he's retiring because he's been really good to the department. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow. However, his successor, Eli Franovich, is proving himself now. He's got actually two sections per week that he needs to fill with outdoors news. So there's a ton of opportunity in our market. And this morning, as I was leaving, because Thursday is one of the outdoors day, I was quick reading a wonderful article about the department. We have a piece of land in right outside of town that has been, what are we going to do with it? I think we bought it initially to expand the hatchery and then decided against that. And it's surrounded by our urban state park, Riverside State Park, and the neighborhood has been very engaged with trying to maintain this as open area. They put in social trails. One of our staff members has done absolutely dynamite work with the neighborhood, and the exchange is slowly moving forward. We finally got the park interested, and it looks like it's going to happen. And there was a very positive story this morning that included news about the department. So it can happen.
Yeah, we one or two more thoughts, and then we'll bring this park to the, yeah.
You know, Kim brings up a good point. Here's a community paper that's had a long tradition of reporting on outdoor recreation, wildlife, fishing. And, you know, just not that long ago, we lost a major one in the Seattle Times. There's a continuing move by community papers or even metro papers to drop the outdoor section, which increases our challenge to get what we're doing to the public.
Yeah, I would say that when we get the new chief or the new head of public affairs, whatever the title is, we invite that person to sit down with us over lunch or something so we can, you know, have it right out of the gate interaction with the person to share a lot of these good thoughts. Okay, any last word on this item? We'll stick to the agenda. Thank you. Good thoughts. Thank you, everybody.